Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's a day of rejoicing. Every day is a day of rejoice. There's, you know, it's amazing. There's so many miserable Christians. Man, don't tell nobody you know Jesus, right? If you're miserable, shut up. Go home, get in the closet, and get right with God. Jesus is not miserable. He's joyful. And if you truly have a relationship with Him, He's always before you. If you truly have a relationship with the King of Glory, the God that creates all things, you worship Him. Because there's a relationship of honor, respect, and reverence, which is called the fear of the Lord. If you truly have a relationship. Other than that, you just play stinky religion. And we don't need any more religion. We need relationship. So that when He says, do something, you do it. When He says, stop, we stop. When He says, go, we go. When He says, I love you, we say, I love you too. When you say, Father, He says, son or daughter. When you tell Him you're going through stuff, He says, I know, give it to me. See, there's a difference in relationship and religion. See, in relationship, there's no fear because we carry perfect love that casts out all fear. Because we're staying filled with His love all the time. That's why the enemy doesn't like you to come and worship. That's why he doesn't like you to fellowship. Because he knows he can keep you from staying filled with God's love. Then the only thing you rely on is your intellect. Memorizations of the Word of God, memorizations of the page numbers. Because you know the Word doesn't make you free. You must practice the Word. And then the Word is not just what's written in the Bible. The Word is a person, and His name is Jesus. He sent His Word to heal us. He sent His Word to free us. He sent His Word to prosper us and give us life and life abundantly. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, there's so much more that God is trying to open up in the spirit realm and bring us deeper. Too many people are content with outer court living. They're contemporary. See, they fluctuate back and forth. They're unstable, untrusting. And God wants to get us into a place where that ceases. For we are known as children of the Most High God, servants of the Most High God, stewards of the Most High God, ambassadors of Christ. Not associated with the world, but come out of the world. So that His light will shine through you, not your own. Amen. There's a time of sacrifice. There's a time of giving. There's a time of surrender. There's a time of trust. You know, Jesus gave us a formula to follow Him. Deny yourself. Take off the old. Pick up the cross. Put on the new. And follow means to obey. That's the formula. People are always looking for formulas. They look for recipes, formulas, all kinds of stuff. They want to know how to make something. God was not created. He's the creator. He always was, always will be. Our peanut brains can't figure that out. Because we are born in a realm that is temporary. He is the Alpha and Omega of this universe. So where there's a beginning, there is an end. And all things will come to an end except for those who are His. Those are His. So if you truly have a relationship with Him, then you don't walk in fear. Because who cares? That's why that we're supposed to be dead to self, aren't we? I've never seen a dead man speak. I've never seen a dead man get up and say, I'm afraid. It's time to cross over It's time to go forward. Not according to the world's forward. We're going forward deeper in the Spirit. There's a deeper place. You know, the deeper you go underwater, the deeper you're protected from the weather. You don't have to be worried about getting wet. You already are. But the waves are no longer hitting you. You're underwater. See, all the things that's going on in the world, we need to get deeper. We need to get deeper because that's a whole nother world there. And God has a whole nother world for us. It's called the eternal world. But too many people are being sucked out of that realm. They're being concerned with life. They're being deceived by greed. And they're being taken captive by lust. But too many people don't recognize these things. They believe that just because they're a Christian, they're okay. But to be a Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. Are your motives, attitude, and character? Are your thoughts Christ-like? This is where we need to examine ourselves. Are we really like Christ? And if we're not, then something needs to change. And if you can't examine yourself, go ask somebody. I'm sure they'll tell you. Hallelujah. 3 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. So that when the enemy tells you this isn't for you, you already know. Must be for somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. In 3 John verse 2, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So this means your soul must prosper according to God's way, isn't it? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those are your three major areas of your soul. Your mind, your thoughts, your will, your choice, and your emotions, your feelings. And of course, in there's imagination. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So what he's saying is, you must prosper in truth. You know, and this is not just temporary truth, this is eternal truth. We must prosper with eternal truth because we are now from another kingdom. We live in another kingdom. We must know how to walk in that kingdom. Verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? In truth. So again, our soul must prosper if we want to prosper. The soul prospers by truth. Has everybody got it? Truth. How is this truth? So your soul is going to prosper by hearing truth, seeing truth, and speaking truth. I'm going to say that again. Hearing truth, seeing truth, and speaking truth. We grow spiritually, physically, and financially. Now, the attack of the enemy is against your soul. Why? Because he doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to grow. Again, your soul is your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So one of the things that the enemy is always going to try to do is prevent you from growing. The moment he can cease you from growing, he has access to steal. So everybody got this? The moment you stop growing, he begins to steal. In Genesis chapter 1. Let's see. Make that Genesis 3. Now, we are a triune being. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your spirit man communes with God. Your soul needs to be converted so it can interpret. And your body does the works. God is triune. And that represents the Father thinks, the Word speaks, and the Spirit moves. But they're one, aren't they? When Adam and Eve were created, they were one. There was no division within them. They were a living soul, or known as a living being. Many times in scriptures, you'll find that it will say spirit, or say man, or say soul. And so many times, because of the translations, when he's talking about a living soul, and we'll talk more about this at another time, but we're going to get more into this later. But so many times it brings a little bit of confusion because of the area of not understanding what the Spirit is saying. That's why without the Holy Spirit, you won't understand this word. It's the Holy Spirit that wrote it, and it's the Holy Spirit that will interpret it for you. So without the Spirit of God in your life, in relationship with Him, you'll just be religious. And religion is bondage. In Genesis 3, in verse 1, let's read it together. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. First of all, they shouldn't have even been near that tree, which they weren't. Eve was curious. Of course, the serpent from that tree was always going, hey, psst, over here. Adam would say no. Eve would ponder it, but walk away until one day she gave her will of her soul to go to the tree and talk to it. The will of her soul was given to darkness by just talking to the serpent. Does everybody understand that? In verse 2, and the woman did what? Said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So again, grab hold of this. The Lord said, don't go to that tree and don't eat of it. Eve even said, don't even touch it. Right? But she was touching it already by communing with it. So the moment that she went to the tree where the serpent was, she surrendered the will of her soul to him. The moment you surrender your will of your soul to deception and darkness, that begins the process of possession. In verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So he lied to her, didn't he? And she believed him. Why? Because the moment she surrendered the will of her soul to him, he began to possess it. Is everybody okay? What he began to do then, in the deception of the possession, the process begins with the purpose of to put a veil. A what? A veil. A veil of deception to make it a permanent thing to them. In other words, a permanent control. He's always trying to control, isn't he? So in this, the moment Eve went to the tree, the moment she decided to go to the tree, she surrendered the will of her soul to darkness, to deception. The process of possession began, and its purpose was to put a permanent veil over her. so she could no longer see the things of truth. Is everybody okay? In Acts chapter 9. And we know then that what had occurred afterwards, after they both ate, they no longer saw the serpent. They no longer could see the Lord in the garden. They only heard him. And then the Lord removed them from the garden. And they left the garden with a permanent veil over them from that day forth. It's called the veil of deception, or it's called a spirit of veil in Acts chapter 9. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 1, there was a man whose name was Saul. He was a Pharisee. He was from a family of Pharisees. They believed that they were servants of God. They believed that they were doing the right thing. In fact, they were willing to kill for God. But there was something that was wrong. They still carried the veil. In verse 1, then Saul still breathing threats and murder. Threats and murder. Here's a Pharisee that was breathing threats and murder. He was the Pharisees of Pharisees. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. This is incredible. He's supposed to know the word, right? He was supposed to know the word. He was supposed to know about the Messiah coming. He was supposed to know all of these things and teach others the same thing. Yet he was out killing those who are of the way of the Lord, thinking he was doing God's will, thinking he was hearing God's will, thinking he was seeing God's will, but there was a veil there. And asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women and children, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Obviously, he had a visitation from the Lord, and he believed that this was truly God. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but what? Seeing no one. Why could they not see? Because they still carried the veil. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were what? Open, he saw what? No one, because the veil was still there. The Lord did not remove it yet. He didn't want him going and doing anything else. He allowed that veil to stay there. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. God put him on a manifested fast. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. I bet he's praying. Oh, God, help me. What have I done? And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight and so that he might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so his sight could be brought forth. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. The Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. How many of y'all know God chose you while you were blind? And to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, Saul, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And immediately, as he laid his hands on him and prayed for him, there fell from his eyes something like scales. The veil came off. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Saul was freed from the veil. But I'm going to share something with you. Just because you're freed from the veil once doesn't mean that the veil doesn't come back. The enemy is constantly trying to get the will of your soul back over to him. Immediately, the moment you will your soul to him, even after you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can go around praying in tongues, you can go worship, you can do everything, and you can be so godly and so spiritual and be so stupid. The moment you will your soul over to darkness and deception, the process of possession starts again, and the veils begin to come. In Deuteronomy 28, and you don't even know what's happening. Deuteronomy 28. In verse 15, is everybody okay? Let's speak it. But it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and what? Overtake you. Wow. Verse 20, the Lord will send on you what? Cursing and what? Confusion and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scourging. And with what? Mildew. Why do you think we have all of these things? They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scab, and with it, the itch from which you cannot be healed. Verse 28, the Lord will strike you with what? Madness, blindness, and what? Confusion of heart. These are areas that a curse comes. Again, I want you to understand that when you will your soul over to deception and darkness, a curse will come. Nothing is manifested until a curse is. A curse is what gives a spirit a legal right to enter your temple. Why? Because when you do that, is that obedience or disobedience? When you will yourself over to deception, it's disobedience. Immediately, the process of possession begins and the veil begins to come back. Has everybody got it? Curse of the veil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, why do you think people backslide? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 12, let's speak it together, please. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were what? Blinded. Why? Because of the veil. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, or in the anointing. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their what? Hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Now he's going to tell you who the Lord is. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the what? Now the Lord is the what? Now the Lord is the what? What spirit is that? Holy Spirit. That's why he's called holy. He's the Holy Spirit. When one turns to the Lord and he's baptized in the Spirit, the veil comes off. The Word tells us when a spirit leaves a person, he comes what? He comes back. Listen, the enemy's always going to try to come back and get you to will your soul over to him. Will your emotion over to him. Will your thoughts over to him. Will your mouth over to him. Why? So the veil can start to come back again. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty or freedom. So if there's not freedom in some part of your life, there's bondage, isn't there? And that's because there's a veil there. And it is a spirit of veil, and it is a veil of deception. Go to Lamentations, chapter 3. It's just before Ezekiel. Lamentations 3. And verse 64. Lamentations 3, verse 64. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands, and give them a what? A veiled heart. Your curse, what? Be upon them. So understand, you see the curse connection with the veil. And your curse be upon them. And your anger pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. So again, according to the work of your hands, give them a what? Veiled heart. That's hardened heart. Hardened heart. That's why the Bible tells us that rebellion is of witchcraft. Because when that veil comes, there's bewitchment. Listen, the enemy is praying against you. Everyone, every believer in the body of Christ, there are set powers of darkness that have been assigned to you to pray against you and try to get you to stumble. They're going to put everything in your path to get you to try and will over your soul. So possession can start again. Matthew 15. Aren't you glad you came today? Listen, these are tactics of the enemy. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We can't be dumb of these things anymore. There's too much problems in the body of Christ. We should be farther advanced than what we are right now. People are relying on the world and the governments instead of the kingdom. The wealth belongs to the kingdom. This kingdom, the kingdom of God. Amen? We got work to do before we leave. There's too many souls still too lost. And too many believers have been taken. Taken in a world of lust and deception. Matthew 15 and verse 10. Remember, the enemy causes division, doesn't he? Causes isolation, doesn't he? Verse 10, let's speak it. Matthew 15, verse 10. And when he had called a multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and what? Understand. Hear and understand. He didn't say listen and understand. He said hear and understand. A lot of people are listening. You know why? The veil's still there. Yeah, I got it, yeah. And they go back to the same old thing again. Because they're not hearing. Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes what? Out of the mouth. This defiles a man, because what you speak is what you eat. So if the enemy can convince you to start speaking things that are of darkness, how many of y'all know grumbling and complaining ain't of God? Hello? Did you ever say, I can never do anything? Nobody loves me. Oh, Gucci Goo. That's not God. The Lord says, I love you unconditionally. You know, I've been to those 12-stepping things. Everybody goes around. And that's all they do is go around. Hi, my name is such and such, and I'm an addict. Nice. I'm out of here. I'm not an addict. His word says, I am a new creation in Christ. Old things that pass away, all things become new. His word says that I'm more than a conqueror. His word says he who's in me is greater than he who's in the world. His word says that by his stripes I'm healed. His word says if he's with me, who can be against me? His word says, his words are eternal, not temporary. His word. But see, the enemy wants to get you to turn over the will of your soul to him. So you speak the things of carnality, the things of temporary, the things of the flesh. See, he's trying to prevent your soul from being regenerated or maintaining that regeneration. If he can stop regeneration of your soul, you produce flesh. I'm going to say that again. The moment that you stop regeneration of your soul, you produce flesh. Oh, glory. We're getting somewhere now. Woohoo! In verse 12, then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are what? Blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the what? Why? Because there's a curse and the veil is there and they are blind. They're blinded. Now, it doesn't mean that they might not know truth in other areas, but they don't know the whole truth. Amen? They don't know the truth that's going to make you free. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? They believe that he's God. That's truth. But what about the rest of it? Well, I don't believe that there's a devil. Of course not. Their whole family's in you. You don't have to believe. They're using you as Hotel California, man. And every one of them is not paying rent. They're eating free off of you. And you're feeding them with your emotions. Because that's how they get fed. Is everybody okay? What comes out of your mouth or what defiles? Because what you speak is what you eat. When a veiled person believes and speaks deception, it feeds the spirit of veil. And his purpose is to maintain the veil of deception. Because they yield their will to deception, the soul can't continue regeneration. Blindness, blindness, and blindness continue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And they believe it, man. Oh my goodness, a person that is veiled believes. Do you ever try to talk to somebody that's veiled? No matter what you say, it's not going to change. The only thing you can do is step back and pray. But the thing is they still speak it. They still speak it, and they still speak it, and that veil stays there. Many believers will die with that veil. Now, the veil doesn't prevent you from going to heaven, but it will prevent you from walking in the fullness that God has for you and doing what he has predestined for you. Of course, unless you turn around and serve Satan, then you ain't going home, because who you serve when you die is where you go. But I've known the Lord 30 years. Well, you've been living with this dude for 30 years too. You've been still doing this and doing that and doing whatever. You're still serving darkness. Who you serve when you die is where you go. Has everybody got it? 2 Corinthians 4, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? What happened to Adam and Eve? Didn't they yield their will over to Satan? Did they die? They were supposed to live forever, weren't they? Oh, hallelujah, in verse 3. Is everybody okay? Let's start at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. Verse 2. But we have renounced the what? Hidden things of shame. Things that are hidden. Things that are veiled. Not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the what? Truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel, the gospel is the message of truth, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing or decaying. They are perishing or decaying. They are not progressing. Whose minds the God of this age, who is Satan, has blinded. Who do not believe. That word believe means to follow. You can say you believe, but if you ain't following, you ain't believing. Because you follow what you believe, don't you? Oh, I believe Jesus, but I still like going to the bars. I still watch pornography. I still lie. Fellowship, no, I don't believe in that organized religion stuff. Me either, but I believe in a living organism. See, there's a difference. That person does not believe, because believe means to follow. Oh, I think I'll just get some counsel. Praise God. Are you going to follow the counsel? Or are you going to come and tell what counsel should be? There's a difference, isn't there? whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. The gospel is a message of truth. It is veiled from them. Truth is veiled from them. They are perishing, they are decaying, and are not progressing. Their regeneration has been on hold. Titus 3. That's what the word says. That they will have a form of godliness. Always learning, 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 but never can come to the knowledge of the truth. Because they're not regenerating. Because the veil is placed there, and there's a belief system that has held them. Their soul is not progressing. It's on hold. Titus chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Would you speak it with me, please? Remind them to be what? Subject. That means submissive. Who are you submitting to? The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. So if you're not submitting to the things of God, you're obviously submitting to the devil, and you can't resist God. I mean, you can't. You're not following him. Resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil, right? So if you're not submitting to God, it is impossible to resist the devil. It's impossible to resist his temptation. The only thing you're concerned about is you. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Why? Because we were what? Veiled. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of what? Regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ our Savior, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the process is through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. When we submit our will of our soul over to darkness and deception, that regeneration is put on hold. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory. In verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's speak this together. Is everybody there? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. But God has revealed them to us through the what? His Spirit, the regeneration of his Spirit. So you may say that you love God, but if you're veiled, are you going to be receiving the fullness of the Spirit? What he's trying to do. What is he saying? Are your eyes fully open then? Did you ever look through dirty glasses? I do all the time. My wife usually says, how can you see through these things, and cleans them? But you know, when you are accustomed to wearing dirty glasses, it looks normal, doesn't it? Until somebody cleans them, it's like, whoa! I can see. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So God is trying to bring us into another place, but because we're veiled in certain areas, regeneration, if we willed our soul over to darkness and deception, that hold of regeneration is there until repentance and turning away from it. No longer agreeing with it. No longer speaking it. Comes to manifest. Amen? Can't see, hear, rejecting the Holy Spirit's counsel because the will of the soul has not been reversed. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, and verse 2. Proverbs 16, verse 2. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord what? Weighs the spirit. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be what? established. So, you know, the ways of man thinks, I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to. Not knowing what they're being influenced by. Not realizing what they've agreed with in their thoughts. Touching the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just because they have knowledge. They have good swelling words, big swelling words. The word tells us and warns us about these things. Amen? Go to Romans 11. You know, that spirit is knocking on your shoulder all the time. He's knocking on your door. You know, he associates also with a deaf and dumb spirit. In Romans 11. Romans 11 and verse 7. Romans 11, 7. What then? Israel has not obtained that what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were what? Blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of what? Stupor. That is the veil. That's the veil. Has everybody got it? It's also associated, when that veil comes, the spirit of deaf and dumb comes. It's the spirit of stupor. Did you ever talk to someone also? Look, what about when you try and read your Bible? What happens? That spirit tries to come on you, doesn't he? All of a sudden you get tired. Get off in Jesus' name. When you were getting ready to go to church, first thing you do, man, you didn't know. Like, come on, let's make some popcorn and watch some TV today. He'll do everything he can. And once you've willed your soul over to him, the process of possession starts again and the veil increases. So everybody got it? God has given them a spirit of stupor. Eyes that they what? Should not see, and ears that they what? Should not hear. To this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. Stupor, a spirit of veil. Again, he tries to come on us all the time. All the time. No matter what, you could be doing something else and, huh? Wait a minute, you got to shake it off. It can happen to anyone. Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Do you ever forget something and feel like an idiot? Oh, God. Got to shake that off. I was at a party with my wife. And now I've been together with this girl 30 years, man. And people are introducing each other. And she turns around and said, this is my friend Guy. Whoa, that thing came on quick, man. But I forgave her and blessed her. This is my friend Guy. Hallelujah. I knew God set that up for today, you know. What a prime example, you know. Yeah, it's my friend Kate. Been with her 30 years, you know. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's speak it together. Then indeed, even if the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of holy, or holiest of all, or the most holy place. That is the place where the light of God is. It said, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which was the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod, and budded, and the tables of the covenant, tablets of the covenant, and a sheesh. Get off. All right, I'm reaping. Okay. You're supposed to be praying against that. Huh? Sure got hot in here, didn't it? and verse 5. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. In other words, there was a veil. There was the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And that place where there was the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant, where the light of God would show up once a year, where only the priests in the Old Testament could go in, but they went in once a year. And this is what Jesus came to do, because light, the light of God, is not only truth, but the light of God brings life. Life. And that veil had to be ripped. It had to be ripped. And it had to only be ripped by God so that we could see. In Luke 23, and this is where the Word of God, Jesus, the Anointed One, the eternal presence and power of God Almighty came into the natural realm, put on flesh, and took all of our sins so that he could rip that veil. And thank God he's still making intercession for me. Luke 23. Woohoo! Verse 44. Would you speak it with me? Luke 23, verse 44. Then we have one scripture left. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now think about this. There was darkness all the earth. What does the veil do? It was over all the earth, wasn't it? But it was about to get ripped. See, God establishes things in both realms. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was what? Torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. And he descended to hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away. And on the third day he rose. And those who were dead at that time, the saints that had died through his ministry, during his ministry, rose with him and went into the city and testified of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine losing your loved ones and all of a sudden, 2 years later, they come back alive and come into the city and tell about Jesus? Hallelujah. Because he is a resurrection God. He raises the dead. He brings sight to the blind. Amen. Jesus tore that veil and ripped away the darkness so that you can see. And then he said something powerful. Come and learn from me. Come and learn from me. In other words, follow me now so we can keep this veil off. So we can walk in truth and you can be free. So that you no longer turn your soul, the will of your soul, over to deception and darkness. So you can keep these veils off. And I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. So we need to learn or get burned. Amen? I'd rather learn than get burned. I've been burned enough. Let's speak it together. Verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not what? Touch him. Now, this word sin means presence of evil. You're turning, he says, you're not going to turn your will over to darkness. And when you do, you're going to catch it if you do. You'll have no fellowship with darkness. Verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the world, and the whole world lies under the what? Sway of the wicked one. Why? To try to get you to what? Will your soul over. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, so you know one of the strategies, don't you? The enemy. So you can let him keep playing with you and tricking you? Amen. It's time to kick butt. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We are grateful for your word. Let this word be heard. Not listened, but heard and understood. Let this word of your spirit penetrate deep into our being. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you quicken us to this word of every area. And Lord, any area in our lives, Lord, where there's a veil of deception ruled by the spirit of veil, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, show it to us all any area where we've willed over our soul to darkness and deception, that it may be severed and all the emotional attachments loose from there, and all the deception loose from there, and that we may walk in the light of your truth and be free by your truth, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.